Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we praise you. You are worthy of all praise, all honor, and glory. Father, we acknowledge you this day as our Lord, our Savior. May we not lose or forget how thankful we are for what greatest salvation we've received from you. Father, we give our ears to be in tune with your Spirit this morning. Father, to hear what you would speak to us by your Spirit, to continue day by day, step by step, equipping us to move forward in your plan and purpose, and all for your glory. Father, we just continue to lift up our pastor. We thank you for his steadfastness, for his faithfulness, for his eyes fixed on you, living by purpose every day of his life. We believe, Father, for continual health and healing and strength to his body. Father, you continue to minister to his spirit. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word that does not return void, but it accomplishes everything that it says. Father, we believe that for even now. We join our faith with his, Father, for strength and healing to his body. And we thank you, Father, for this time we can continue to lift him up in prayer. We pray, Father, for continual strength to Donna as well, and all that is before her, and assisting Pastor Bill and meeting his needs and the wisdom. But, Father, we pray for your peace. Father, your peace to be upon their hearts, to not grow weary in all their well-doing, but to continue to keep their eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we just continue to join our faith with Pastor Bill and Donna. He was dealing with just some different complications this week with dialysis and related to that, and so causing a little bit of pain and adjusting to all the things and just needing wisdom at this time. So just continue throughout the week to pray for both of them, Pastor Bill and Donna, for the joy of the Lord and a steadfastness on his word for peace. And for healing. Well, we're going to have our dear brother Alan come up here in a minute to share. I was not here last Sunday. We were away down to a wedding for somebody in our family. On the way back up, we stopped by the Smoky Mountains. Anybody ever been to the Smoky Mountain National Park? Anybody? It was they have a part where you can do a drive through this one area. And it's great seeing some wild turkeys and seeing some bears, and I won't go into some of those fun stories. But it was interesting, on that trek through our car ride, we came across, there were three churches on this road. I think the first one was a Presbyterian church, then it was a Baptist church, then it was a Missionary Baptist church, and we're scratching our heads, why are there two Baptist churches, and trying to understand. And looking into it a little bit, they had some plaques and information, and the Missionary Baptist church was formed because they were kicked out of the other Baptist church because, to put it more generally, they were more missions-minded than the other Baptist church was comfortable with. We'll just say it that way. And so they left and they formed their own church. And it's interesting sometimes maybe how comfortable we can get in our world and maybe how resistant, I'll use that word, we might be to not be as comfortable thinking about things outside of our world. I remember when we were missionaries, Katie and I over in Russia, we understand, out of sight, out of mind. And we do your support letters and you maybe send emails and occasional phone call, but we all get busy with our lives, right? There's things that just are going on in our lives. But those on the mission field, those who we have a relationship with, life's still going on there for them too. And I forget who said this quote, maybe you know, but it's always stuck with me. You can develop intimacy with who you pray to, who you pray with, and who you pray for. And having been on the mission field, I can't tell you enough how invaluable those whom you know are standing with you, maybe not physically being able to be there, but being able to stand with you in faith and in prayer. Maybe an occasional package in the mail. Those were a great delight. Or even a card, something. Maybe even an email. It's amazing how far those seemingly little insignificant things can go. But then prayer. I know Pastor Bill shared when he was up here a few weeks ago how he was at a place where he couldn't stand in faith. Just how all these things were affecting him and how he was really felt carried by the prayers and the faith of the saints. And so I just wanted to just share that as, you can come on up here now, Alan. As Alan, who Pastor Bill has put in as our mission director here at Abundant Life Center, being able to be an extension of us going to these places wherever we have relationship with for various missions relationships. You know, he'll be gone in August back to Tanzania with Steve and Donna Mirabella. They were here back in February. If you were here, you got a chance to meet them. And being able to continue to join our faith with those God has ordained for this house and this body to be in relationship with. And I'm sure Alan's going to share a few things maybe about that trip or things related to that. But I also want to encourage you, take a moment to pause in your life right now. Okay, I've got my life and things going on, but I'm also part of a bigger picture, something bigger than myself. And all that I am doing should be to the end of what God's purpose and will is. And therefore, if God's called me to this house and called me to this church, he's by default called me to these relationships. And we're blessed to be able to have Alan go in our stead. We can't all go physically in person, but to be able to be an ambassador for us there, representing us as this church body, but even more so the Jesus that we stand and represent. So I'm going to pass it over to our brother Alan and receive what he shares this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to start with a brief prayer. It's a prayer that I often pray before I start, because I find it applies every time I'm going to speak. Father God, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, for your presence here today. I ask that you give me your words to share, and that each one of us here have ears to hear and hearts that are open to receive and minds that are attentive to the word that you have for us today. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd hate to be up here and share out of what would come out of me and not out of him. I try to share that way all the time, even when I'm not up here. But I think we all know that, you know, come up here to talk about sports or weather isn't going to work, you know. You really need something from God. And I can tell you, I love watching how God works in my life when he gives me an opportunity to share. Sometimes you have a couple months to prepare, sometimes a couple weeks, and sometimes less than a day, which is the case this time. And I can tell you that maybe 20 years ago, I would have been thrown into a panic. Now it doesn't bother me at all. Because I found over time, it doesn't matter whether I have 2 months, 2 weeks, one day, God wants to get something to you, and so he gives it to me every time without fail. It is actually almost easy. It really is, because he cares about you and he wants you to get something. So he just downloads it to me, and I actually enjoy getting it. I'll just sit there and go, wow, I go here, and then, oh, it's here, and oh, there's the whole thing, and it's done. And it amazes me, because when I'm not getting ready to share somewhere, it doesn't quite work like that. I can read a whole book in the Bible and go, was there something in there for me? And seriously, I don't know if you've ever done that. And usually you can find something, but it's like there'll be this one piece, and yet when I'm preparing to teach, it's just like a download comes every time without fail. So I enjoy it when I get an opportunity to share, because I also know that when he's giving me something for you, it's not just you, it's me too. In fact, this message that I'm sharing today, I've actually shared twice before, and I shared it in Sri Lanka the last time I was there at two different churches. And before I left, I mentioned to Pastor Bill that I had this one teaching that I knew I was going to do. I taught, like, I don't know, 20 different sermons when I was there. But I knew this one teaching I was going to do. And when I told him what it was about, he said, people in the U.S. need to hear this too. And that includes us here in this church. And so today, you get to hear it. Now, I will tell you, God always makes it different every time I share it, because he knows how you need it to hear it and to receive it. So I've changed the beginning and I've changed the end and added some things, but the middle part of it's the same. So I'd like you to turn to a passage, and I can tell you, if you've been here and heard me teach before, you may think I'm starting the same teaching over again, because I have started many different teachings that I've done in my life with this same passage, and it's for a reason, which I'll explain to you today. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. Passage that I'm sure most all of you know. You may not know it by scripture, you know, by chapter and verse, but once I start, many of you could finish it along with me. It says, but be hearers of the word. No, that's, I started that way intentionally. But be hearers of the word. I want you to catch that. It's not what it says. It says, but be doers of the word. Because this is the key. Because you're all hearing this, but hearing it is not enough. And it goes on to clarify this in here. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay? Deceiving yourselves. And so I want you to pay particular attention to what God has given me for you today. And not just to hear it. I'm really not too interested on whether you could leave here today and then parrot everything I said to somebody else. What I'm really hoping for is that God gets something inside of you that changes you. And because it changes you, it changes the way you live your life. And when that happens, you will then find that you start sharing it with other people out of your life rather than just words that are in your head. Okay? And you'll have a much better understanding of it than rather just a bunch of words. Okay? So, with that being said, and why I share that starting is, it's really, if you heard the first teaching Randy gave us this morning, he mentioned a passage about Paul receiving comfort, and that he was comforted. And he made a statement something like, it's not so important that we understand the meaning or the definition of comfort. It's the idea that we get the fact that we are comforted in him, and that because he is our comforter, that we can walk in that. So it's not so much that you can explain it to somebody. Are you walking in it? Are you living it? And really, that applies to every single thing that God gives us in his word. So it's not just that or one isolated other thing. And that's the point I'm wanting to make today. What I'm about to share with you is not, once again, for you to just be able to talk about. It's for your good and it's for your life. So I'm hoping that God has something in here for you that can change your life today. If you were to put a title on what I'm sharing, it would be How to Let Your Light Shine. Okay? And we're going to go to a few scriptures. Some of them actually make it very clear because it says it right in the verses. And you may start thinking of some of those verses as I'm going along. You'll probably hear them. But the first passage that I would like you to go to is 1 John chapter 3. And verses 16 through 18. So for those of you that have an electronic device, if you want to follow along, typically as I'm quoting things, it will be in the New King James Version. But if you have something else, I'm sure you'll be able to understand and make the connection. 1 John 3, 16 through 18 talks about love. And it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Then it makes this statement in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So catch what it's saying there. It first explains how we know love. And it's because of Jesus' example himself. And then it explains how we are to walk out love. In other words, our part. Then it adds something at the end. And it's saying, don't just talk about love. Do it. That's the Alan Erickson shortened version of 1 John 3:18. Just don't say, oh, I love people. Well, it's your actions that are going to prove whether you do or not. And your actions will speak louder to people than your words will. Now, is it good to tell someone you love them? Yes. I'm not saying you don't do that, especially husbands to wives and vice versa. So, yes, do that. But to the general world around you, they're more interested in what you're doing than what you're saying. That's what they're looking at, because they know that's really you. And that's why the first three points that we're going to talk about, those who really struggle, let's say, sharing Christ with others, you're going to be, you can sign me up for this, because all three of these, you don't have to open your mouth. And some people aren't comfortable, you know, sharing with other people that way, verbally. Now, I will tell you, the fourth and final point we're going to get to says, but there will come a time, once you've done the first three, that you're going to need to open your mouth, okay? And that the Bible says that you should, and that it is a good thing. But I'm also going to take a little bit of time to share with you how easy it really is. Even for those of you that may be a little bit scared, to use the word, or whatever, to share. So here in this passage, the first thing that we do without opening our mouths to let our light shine is to love people the same way that God loves them. Not to go around talking about it, but to do it. And Shane mentioned that I would be possibly sharing a little bit about my upcoming trip to Tanzania. There's some information in today's bulletin or little paper you were given today. That I am leaving on August 24th. And one of the things I can tell you that I love seeing is the love coming out of this church for the Marabellas. For example, this talks about, it says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? But see, when you guys heard of the need there, you gave to the need. And that makes my heart feel good. And I know it does theirs too. I stay in constant communication with them. We're always texting back and forth. And I'm usually checking up going, okay, you received the gift, yes. And, you know, how much more do you need? And we're praying about it, that they get it. Because there are great needs. When you go out into the mission field, I think the thing that probably struck me the most was, we've all seen movies, and we all see lack and need here in the United States. It's not that it doesn't exist and there aren't poor people here. All I can tell you, the places that God has sent me to this point in time, all I see is great need. Everywhere. He sends me to the places that I look at, and it affects your heart. You sit there going, I wish I had like $500,000. Seriously, that would be a starting point. You know, we talk about, you know, 500 sounds like a lot. 1,000 is a lot. You know, thousands are a lot. I could tell you, you could give me $500,000 and I know right where all of it would go instantly. And then there would still be more need. Is need's always going to be there. But he has shown me great need. But what I love to see from this church is that when you hear about a need, you give to it. And that's really what love is all about. You don't see a need and go, nah, I'm not going to deal with that. So that's the first way that your light will shine. People will see that when you hear about in your daily life, well, someone's refrigerator broke. Well, what can we do? Can I come and look at it? Maybe you can fix it. Maybe you know someone who can. Maybe we can find one to replace it for you. It's things like that that are going to speak volumes about the love of God that's in you. Now, I will tell you, it's one of the things with using electronic device. Every once in a while, they decide they're going to go to sleep. And in this case, it was, I really don't look at this too often as I'm teaching, but it was, I was just going, I need to look at that, and it went blank on me. So I really only glance at it to see that I'm not leaving something out. There's a brief outline on there. So I want to next go to the second way that we can let our light shine. And the key again is, in fact, it's probably Even more important here that we don't open our mouth. Because if we open our mouth in this case, it would be boasting. And we know what the Bible talks about there. So if you want to just write it down, it's a verse, it's a single verse. And many of you, once again, I'm sure know this. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And once again, we're talking about how to let your light shine in the world without even opening your mouth at this point in time. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So how do we have our light shining to the world? Going out and doing the good works that God gives us to do. Go to God and say, "God, what would you have me do today?" And I do believe I even shared here. In fact, I'm quite certain I did what it really means to do good works. Because not every work is a good work in the eyes of God. If it's not the work that God gave you to do, then it's not a good work. If you're doing something that someone else is supposed to be doing and you've jumped in there and you didn't take the time to go, "God, is this the work you would have me doing?" Then God's not going to see that as a good work. The world may look at it that way, but God has things specifically for each one of us to do. There's another key. Don't leave out point one that we just talked about. If you're doing your good works and are not being done in love, you're doing them because, "Oh, I kind of have to. It would look bad if I didn't." Well, you got it wrong again. God's not going to see that as a good work. Okay? So when you go to God and he gives you these good works to do, and you do them out of a heart of love, this verse tells us your light's going to shine. And the key is, don't open your mouth and go around telling everybody about all the good works you're doing. In fact, as I said, that would be boasting. But it's not that we're to hide our good works. It's actually perfectly fine to let everyone see the good works you're doing. Because it's going to lead to my final point, and I don't want to go to it right here. We're going to go to one more first. But it becomes, you do know that people who are unsaved are watching you, do you not? A lot of them. You may not notice, but I can tell you, they're watching you. Because if they know you're a Christian, some of them are looking to see where they can find fault in you and judge you and say, "Ah, no, you're no different than us." But others are really looking for something that they know they're missing, and they want to see, is this Christianity thing it or not? You know, is there really something different about someone who knows Christ? And so a lot of them are watching you. And once again, it's not so much about what you're saying, it's about what you're doing. So let's go to... this is probably the key to the teaching, this passage. In fact, I will tell on myself briefly. I shared a teaching about, I'll say it's been at least 6 years ago, in my brother-in-law's church in Ohio. And I did what I thought, or God, through me, presented a very good teaching. And afterwards, everyone only wanted to talk about one thing. And my brother-in-law had sent me to the back of the church to greet the people as they were leaving, you know, talk to them a little bit. And he stayed in the main part of the church. And I looked up and I saw there were like five or six different people running to him after I taught. I thought, "Oh, what did I say?" And I could tell you that there was about a 5-minute interruption in what I had prepared to share that day. And the interruption was from the Holy Spirit. He gave me something to say, and it almost didn't seem to have very much to do with what I was teaching, which I thought was all really pretty good. But all anyone wanted to talk about was the 5 minutes that the Holy Spirit had me plug in here. So I don't call those rabbit trails. People in the world call them that. I call them spirit trails. And they're good things. When the Holy Spirit gives them to you, that's a good thing. Don't leave it out. And what I shared was this passage that I'm going to have you turn to. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. A lot of you may know 13. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." That all sounds pretty good with us, that he's working in us, and that is a good thing. But see, it doesn't stop there. It goes into something else, and it almost sounds like he's saying, shut your mouth. In a polite way. Literally, keep it closed. You're better off not saying a word here than saying what's about to come out of your mouth. And I'll explain further. It says there in 14 and 15, it says, do all things without complaining, disputing, grumbling, whatever you want to call it, all those things, okay? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, how are you going to shine as a light in the world? Stop complaining. And I don't know how many of you noticed this, and I said I was going to tell on myself. I shared this about 6 years ago, and I thought, well, that was kind of interesting that everyone wanted to talk about that. And I didn't think almost a second thing about it as time went by. And then about 2 years ago, God came to me and brought that verse back before me, and he said, you know, one of the main reasons I shared that through you is for you. You need to quit this. So in other words, God will put a finger on things. Back to verse 13. It says that he's going to work in you, and he's going to show you what you need to work on. And so what I did is I started watching my mouth and how much I complained and grumbled and moaned and whatever else that kind of fits in there. And I can say it was quite often, which is why he brought it to my attention. Now, he has continued to do that work in me. I can say that there has been progress made, and that every once in a while it still slips out and I go, oops, and repent and say, I know. In fact, what you'll find is when God's working on you, how sensitive you become to it. You notice it right when you've done it. Now, the key is to notice it before you do it. That's when you know you're getting there. Okay? And there's been many cases where that's happened. I go, because here's the thing about complaining. You wouldn't complain unless you didn't have what you thought was the right to. In other words, if you didn't think there was something wrong, why would you be complaining? You'd be saying, oh, everything's great. There's no reason to complain. So when you complain, it's because you feel you have a right and reason to complain. And the Bible says, when that happens, when you feel you have the right and you see you have the right and you feel like you should, don't do it still. Okay? Because you have no reason to do it any other way. So why would he be talking about it? It's when you feel that way. Don't do it. Why? Because the world is all complaining all the time about everything. So when they see they have the right to complain, they just complain. So if we're going to be a light, we have to look different than they do. Okay? So how we become that light is when we go through the same things they do, and they're right with you, because we're all out in the world. They see us. So when everyone else around you start complaining, don't do it. You may want to, but the key is don't do it, and your light will shine. And here's the point that I was going to make back. Almost sometimes you want to jump the gun because you're so excited about saying something that you know is coming up when you're sharing. After I shared point two, I'm like, oh, I want to go there. But all of these, all three points that we've talked about, all come down to the fact that people are watching you. And when they see you're different, it opens up an opportunity for you. Because what I have found over and over again, I was actually talking to Phil about this morning. I gave him a brief overview of what I would be sharing this morning. Without all the scriptures where we were going, but just a general context. And he actually said, he said, yeah, people at my workplace know I'm different. That's actually a good thing. You know that? It's a good thing. And he says, they're used to it. And he even went on to say, which is really what I was leading to as I was preparing this teaching, is that by letting your light shine and doing all of this, hopefully it comes to the place where those who are watching you And seeing your light shine will say, come up to you and say, what do you have that I don't have? What's different about you? And he actually said that there's a gentleman at work that had done that with him. And now this gives us a great chance. And this is where, for those of you who would rather witness without opening your mouth, we've gone that far here, and this is all great. But the Bible does make it clear that there'll be a point where you are to open your mouth. It all throughout Scripture, it talks about it. And so what I want to share a little bit about, the simple answer to their question, what's different about you? What do you have that I don't have? The short answer is Jesus. Okay, it's a really short answer, but are they going to get that? You know, this is an unsaved person. They're going to go, what? Okay, so in fact, where we find that short answer, if you were to look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, if you're taking notes, you can write that down. I actually was led there in the middle of Randy's teaching. I told him I was paying attention the whole time, but the Holy Spirit just had me jump over here and said, oh, this fits in with what you're teaching today. And it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then notice it goes on to say, him we preach and teach and all those things. Now, you may not be a preacher or a teacher or anything else, but did you all know that you are all ministers? Every single one in here is a minister. You may not be under the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but 2 Corinthians, almost everyone in here can probably quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know what verse 18 says? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Each one of us here has a ministry of reconciliation. That us means you and you and you and you and you and me. So this isn't, it's for all of us. Every one of us are saved. We have a ministry of reconciliation. And what does that mean? Well, to reconcile, it means to take that which was at enmity with God and bring it to the place where they are now friends of God. Well, that's the case with anyone living in the world. If we read our Bible, if they don't know God, it really says they are at enmity with God. And when you then receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're now friends. And that's really our ministry then of reconciliation, is to bring those who are at enmity with God to a place where they're friends of God. Okay? And for those of you who struggle sharing, it's really not that hard. The first step is, if you are in that place, go to God and say, God, you know my heart. I'm not ashamed of you. You know, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, there are people out there who aren't ashamed, but they do seem to have a problem going up to someone and talking to them about Jesus. Okay. Go to God and say, God, you know my heart. And I want to be able to share when I know that I'm supposed to share with someone about you. God already knows your heart, but he's waiting for you to say something like that to him. Because he will do it for you. I have heard stories over and over again, once again, back to Phil sharing with me this morning. He was the type of person who, at one time, sharing with people, that just wasn't it, verbally, just not him. But he went to God and said, okay, God, I want to do this. If it's you, you're going to have to do a work in me. That's why that verse 13 was important. For it is God who works in you. He's wanting to. Sometimes he just needs you to get out of the way and say, okay, God, do it. Because he's not going to force any of this down your throat. Okay? He's waiting for you to say, here I am. I'm ready for use. I don't know how to do this. I don't feel comfortable doing it. So I'm going to need you to enable me to do it. Guess what? He's able to do it. But there are actually, in everything that we look at, it's amazing how you can just about find everything you need in this Bible. Now, maybe not what I should eat for dinner today and what I shouldn't. In other words, it doesn't get into those details. But things you really need to live your life, it's in here. And why this is so easy, and why I say it's easy, even for those of you that struggle with this, speaking publicly or even to one person when it comes to Jesus, is I think oftentimes people think they need to know all these scriptures. Well, I can tell you, witnessing to the unbeliever, I would say scripture isn't a place to start, because they're not going to either, first of all, know it, or they're not going to understand it. What you need to do is what the Bible tells you you need to do. You know, it actually tells you how to share your faith effectively. Now that I've said that phrase, maybe it's running through your mind. Where do I find that in the Bible? It's in a book of the Bible that I don't know that all of us go to often. In fact, because God has me put scripture in me so that when I go out into the bush or wherever I'm going, I just go out and I just start sharing the word. It's the only verse I know in this book of the Bible. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. So if you want to go there or write it down, it says there that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's saying you want to have an effective sharing of your testimony of your faith. Here's how you do it. Well, how do you do it? It tells you right here. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Well, we just read in Colossians 1:27, Christ is in you. Okay? So everything that's good in God, in Christ, is already in you. And all you have to do is share what's in you. And you know what's in you. This is why it's easy. You don't have to know all these scripture verses. You know that you know your life. Before you were saved, were you full of joy? I wasn't. Before you were saved, did you have peace when everybody else was running around like a chicken with their head cut off and things were going bad? No. But because he's in us, we have those that in us, his goodness, and all that he's given us, everything that's available to us through the Holy Spirit, through his presence in us. And this verse tells us all we need to do is share that with others. You know, before I was saved, I was in a constant turmoil. I was stressed out, couldn't sleep. And now that I know Jesus, I have peace when everything's going on crazy around me. Or, you know, I shouldn't be full of joy right now because of this, this, and this going on, but I am. Yeah, you know, it's almost unexplainable, but I am. And that's going to resonate with people. They're going to say, okay, I'd like that too. How do I get that? You see, what's good about walking out the first three parts that we talked about is that hopefully they come to you and give you that open door. There is something else, and there is, if they don't do that, there's the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will also tell you, now's the time to go share with that person. Okay? And if you've got either the open door that they give to you or the Holy Spirit saying, go to that one now and share what's in you. What's in you because I'm in you. Well, that should give you a confidence because, you know, God's sending you there and that God opened that door, which you will find then once again makes it easy for you. Okay? I think too many people are afraid and looking ahead of the situation and anticipating as to what they should have ready to say. You don't have to prepare anything. If the Holy Spirit's opened the door, Or if he's prompting you to go there, you'll just open your mouth and the right things will come out. It's really, I keep using the word easy, but for those of you who have that fear or struggle doing that, I'm hoping that you're able to get over it. Go to God and say, I want to be able to share effectively my faith with others so that they too can know you like I know you. So that's really what I had for you today in a nutshell. I did want to wrap up again just by saying that I do appreciate so much your heart for missions here. I get the opportunity to go out and meet with these people who are doing the will of God in their lives, and what I put it is full-time on the mission field. We all have our full-time part. It's every day here. Mine is a little different. Most of my time is here, but right now I've been spending about, let's say, 2 months of the year in some other countries. I can tell you that God's put on my heart that may be 4 months out of the year soon. But I leave that up to God. But when I go out and meet these people who are out there, let's say, 9 months of the year, and the only reason they're there, and I can think of a couple different instances, some are there year-round, like Pastor Pradeep. He rarely makes it here to the States. I did get to talk to him yesterday for a considerable period of time, yesterday or the day before. And he was planning on coming in August of this year. And there has been a change to his schedule. He has been doing crusades, just to let you know a little bit what's going on with him. And in these crusades, hundreds have been getting saved every month. Hundreds. People, miraculous healings, miracles. His last one, crusade, there was a lot of deliverance. And I can tell you, the church that I went to, and I think I may even share this with you when I came back. One of the churches that I went to, this church and I spoke. And when I went right in, I basically was there and said, almost before we even started, I just looked out, there's no life here. I mean, it was like, I'm looking for someone that's alive. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that. Now, usually in a church, you should be around alive people. But it was like, I kind of spotted two. Okay, and I'm going, I think I'll speak to them. No, I need to talk to all of them, but all I can say, and I actually conveyed this to Pastor Pradeep. Well, good news. The reason I'm sharing that is there's good news. The next crusade was held in that area, and hundreds were saved, enough that literally there's 200 or 300 people that now need churches. He's going to start two more churches in that area so that there'll now be three churches in the area. And the pastor who, once again, not speaking negatively, was part of those that came across as being not having much life, is now full of life and is on fire for God and just can't wait to now. He's actually at least initially going to oversee all these churches. And so for me, hearing that story after seeing there and then hearing what God did there, he said there was just tons of deliverance. In that nation, you can see it. And it's different in different nations of what they're actually dealing with. And there is a spirit of, for I'm looking for the right word, you just don't see joy at all. I mean, it's like, and that's why when I say maybe dead, you just don't see life, even in their faces, their expression, anything that they're doing. And so when I heard that all of this was lifted off of them, that to me is so exciting. I can't wait to go back and see it now, to go back to that same church and visit these churches that are up there, and so that I can rejoice with them. Okay, so just wanted to share that a little bit with you. His plan is, part of the reason he's not coming is he has three more crusades that are planned, and the first one was supposed to happen in July, but it basically got washed out because of their heavy rains. So it got moved back. So now they're going to be August, September, and October. So he does have three more crusades planned. And he has a brother who lives down in Florida. And somehow there's other relatives here in the States. And one of them is getting married in April. So his intention is to he and his entire family to come in April and make it here somewhere during that time now. That is the plan. Because one way or another, they're going to be here for the wedding, so they're going to try to make it here. So it's gotten pushed out, his visit here, from August till hopefully April. I know many of you have got to know him over the years and look forward to getting to actually spend some time with him. I know that Pastor Bill was hoping that he could come and share here at Abundant Life Center in August, but that will now be delayed. But I do want to encourage you to keep these people in mind, because they're out there, especially the Marabellas. All I can tell you is, when it talks about giving up things for the word's sake, the Bible says, well, you really haven't given up anything when you've gained God. But in the natural, if you were to look at it as in the natural, they've given up a lot. They could be living extremely comfortable lives here in the United States and be extremely wealthy in the United States. And I mean, have everything that anyone would want because of his abilities and what he did prior to turning his life over to God and going on to the mission fields. But they have, because God's moved on their hearts, given up the comforts that we have here. And so I can tell you what I greatly enjoy doing. I go to be a blessing to them in sharing the word with them, with all those that they have me share the word with throughout all the different tribes. But I also like to be able to be a blessing to them in person while I'm there. Things in those nations aren't as readily accessible, easy to get. The comforts that I wouldn't even say comforts. The things that we take for granted are difficult to get a hold of there. So just getting what they need is difficult, and because it's difficult to get, it can be quite pricey too. So I find great joy in being able to go and being able to be a blessing, both in sharing and both in giving in to their needs. Things that they really, and sometimes just blessing them with something that's above and beyond a need, just blessing them going, you know, they would really like this, they don't need it, but I want them to have it. You know, it's just nice being able to do that for someone who's out there doing what they're doing. It makes me feel good. I don't do it so that I feel good, but I tell you, when I can do that for them, it does make me feel good. And so I thank all of you for your generous giving. Like I said, the next trip is coming up. Someone came up with a phrase, and I'm sure you've all heard it all before. The gospel's free, but getting it there isn't. Especially when you're going halfway around the world, okay? The airfare alone is expensive, but then there's the cost of being out there every day. And as you move throughout the nations, in flight or in nation travel, your food, everything that you need to do. So I once again thank you for what the support you give me so that I can do what God has given me to do. Because this is what he's put on my heart to do, is go out and kind of be the connection from this church and others to go out and be a small part of what these people are doing. I get to be this little part. And I just enjoy it completely. And thank you again for all of your support. And I will turn this back over to Shane now for closing.